At the beginning of today's second reading, St. Paul exuberantly proclaims, "For freedom, Christ set us free." These words of the apostle are words that probably resonate with us. As Americans, we cherish very much the gift of freedom. Next weekend, we'll celebrate it in the way we know best, with barbecues and fireworks. But as you may have noticed, St. Paul also warns about a certain danger, the danger of abusing the gift of freedom. And in fact, we very easily, I think maybe especially here in America, tend to misunderstand freedom and what it's really all about. I'll use an example from my own life to illustrate this. Growing up, we had a piano in our dining room, and I was always free, we might say, as a child, to sit on the piano bench and press any of those keys that I wanted to on the piano. And I would from time to time, but it wasn't much more than just some noise that I was producing when I sat there beating on the different keys of the piano. But it all changed in fourth grade, when my mother signed me up for piano lessons. And for the next 8 years till the end of high school, I learned the rules of the piano. I was taught what keys to press when and how hard or how softly in order to play music. And by the end of high school, the product was something much more beautiful than it was when I was just a little child. Now, in a sense, you could say I was just as free in third grade as I was in 12th grade to sit there on the piano bench and pluck around on the keys. But in another sense, after those years of practice and training, of submitting myself, if you will, to the laws and the rules of how to play the piano, I was much freer. Because by the end of high school, I could sit at the bench and choose freely to play Beethoven's Fur Elise, or Scott Joplin's Entertainer, or Billy Joel's Piano Man. Something I was not free to do when I was in third grade and had never taken a piano lesson in my life. You see, we have often this kind of limited, impoverished understanding of freedom that says freedom simply means there should be no restrictions or limitations. Every option should be on the table. It focuses simply on being free from limitations. But for freedom, Christ set us free. And the freedom for which Christ set us free is not merely a freedom from any restriction or limitation. He set us free for the sake of something. You see, freedom is not just an end in itself. Freedom is a means to another end. Freedom allows us to choose to direct our lives in a particular direction. That's why St. Paul warns, do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We're given the gift of freedom so that we can, of our own volition, choose to make something beautiful with our lives. The example of my experience with the piano is rather trivial, I know. But the fact of the matter is that when we stop at this impoverished version of freedom, simply freeing ourselves of any limitation, it can have quite disastrous consequences. Think, for example, of what has been in the headlines these past couple of days. 50 years ago, the Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade proposed this very limited, overly simplistic, impoverished view of freedom that said Americans should have no restrictions from making the choice to end the lives of the unborn in their mother's wombs. And over these years, tragically, this has resulted in over 60 million of the most innocent and vulnerable human persons having their lives ended before they could even take a single breath. As Catholics, we were saddened by this, and we've prayed and worked vigorously for 50 years to speak up for the unborn, to call our nation to something higher, to use our freedom to create something more beautiful, a culture of life, a civilization of love. So we've been understandably heartened by the news from the Supreme Court on Friday. Certainly it's true, there's much yet to be done. There are still many hearts to be converted in our nation and around the world. We're far from living in a culture that welcomes life in the womb and does everything it can to support mothers and fathers facing difficult pregnancies. Not to mention there are millions of women and men wounded by their choice for abortion, who need to hear that the church's teaching is not one of condemnation, but an invitation to mercy and healing. But yesterday was a step in the direction of using that precious gift of freedom as a nation to create a beautiful culture of life and a civilization of love. Yes, freedom is not an end in itself. It's a means. What makes up the freedom of a nation like ours is the decisions that each of us individual citizens confront in our own hearts. And you and I, every day, many times through the day, we face the choice of whether we will abuse our freedom to simply give free rein to every single one of our desires, which often are disordered and sinful, and then to give free rein too of those the ugly consequences of our sinfulness, or the choice not to abuse our freedom, but to use it for the sake of making something beautiful of our lives, to use our freedom to become the saints that God desires each of us to be, but will not force us to be, because for freedom he set us free. In the gospel today, we heard about these individuals whom our Lord called to follow him. And in a very real way, as we encounter Christ here in this Holy Mass this morning, in this moment, that same divine gaze of Christ meets the eyes of each of our hearts. And today, Christ extends to each one of us that same invitation, follow me. He's asking us to use our freedom to choose him, to choose the particular way of life that he proposes. Our sins, our earthly attachments, they tempt us to want to make excuses for why now is not the time to make that choice, why we can maybe save that for some day down the road. But in the face of that temptation, may we draw from Christ here the grace to use the freedom he's given us to respond with all our hearts to him, with no reservations. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. St. Patrick, pray for us.